Speaking Freedom presents Speaking Freedom Radio.
This is Speaking Freedom, and we walk the walk.
My mommy, she's my hero. She's the greatest in the whole world.
It's the love thing here, and you're in luck. If you've been hurt, then we'll fix you up. It's okay. Don't be afraid. Casey really knows her stuff.
Providing advanced spiritual studies and personal developmental insight. Brought to you by Love Gang and Speaking Freedom. We thank you and we look forward to helping you grow in all the areas of your life. We hope that you find all the information needed for your growth. God bless. Please listen to all disclaimers provided. If you are currently under physician's care, please maintain that relationship. It's not intended to stop your current treatment plan. If you need physician care, please seek out medical attention. Please note, all results are based on the individual's ability to adapt and adjust to any given environment and situation. We are not responsible for your results at Speaking Freedom. The Life Enhancement Coaches at Speaking Freedom provide information to help you grow. You are responsible for maintaining that growth, taking on and then applying the information to your individual life as you deem needed and necessary. May contain and explain explicit content. Please use parental discretion. For best results, you will need an open mind, the ability to research, and a balanced lifestyle.
Welcome to Speaking Freedom, healing hearts around the world. Please check your baggage and come right along this way.
Oh, you better come prepared. You can't call the ramp.
I think that we should see a therapist.
Honey, black people don't go to therapy.
In regular therapy, there are limitations and things that you have to maintain in order to get your client to the desired outcome and destiny. However, with life coaching, especially with life enhancement coaching, we use the client to develop, to grow, and to bring out the best in themselves. We are simply a tool to help you learn how to make better decisions. Not just one decision, not just today, but for the rest of your life. Encouraging each person through each trial and tribulation.
Speaking freedom. Speaking freedom, giving you the answer to be free, be free, be free, 'cause we're speaking freedom, and we're live, online, with my Casey.
Hey, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Speaking Freedom Radio. I am your host and Life Enhancement Coaching Specialist, Casey. And as your Life Enhancement Coaching Specialist, what I do is I help you to advance and enhance your life as you deem needed. With the tools that I provide on a day-to-day basis, I will give you information or on what I've seen online, and then help guide you on how to deal with situations like online sources and resources for diversity and the ability to have different scenarios that's real life topics. Today's topic, we are going to talk about a couple different things. I want to talk about the state of the culture today. I see a lot of different things going on, a lot of different things being said, a lot of other things being done, and it has not really wonder, but more so a place of awe. I want to start off talking about the jail in Brooklyn, lights and. Code or whatever. I'm just trying to figure out why in the world would you turn lights and the electricity off in the building? Like, at what point, at what source did those things turn off? Like, was it the electric company? Was it the warden, like, turn the whole power off and only have on the emergency lights? And what causes that? Like, what does that help? What caused it? Like, at what point did he say, okay, well, we just going to set the power off on these motherfuckers and just, you know, they just going to suffer? Like, because not only are the prisoners suffering,
I'm kind of confused as to how in the world the power goes off. Like, how you shut the whole power off and only have the emergency lights on and it's freezing cold in the middle of January. And then, from my understanding, I'm going to say that they've had it happen in a separate jail in New York. It's crazy. Like, I don't get it. I want to know what the breaking point was. What made them go to that extreme? There's no excuse for it. I'm not trying to hear a narrative so I can make sense of it. I'm just trying to figure out at this point, like, how you turn the lights off and the power off in a whole building on humans, on other people, like, and then for people to have to stand outside and protest. I am not one for protest. I am not going to say it is ineffective, but most times if you put more effort into making phone calls and kind of, you know, making that communication habit in a different manner, you can get the same results. Now, it is to my knowledge that some people were maced or sprayed upon entering the jail protesting. Now, I cannot say anything negative about them macing the area because you guys entered the jail protesting. To me, it's almost like you're going to break out your relative if they don't turn it over or do whatever it is that you want them to do. They have to take certain precautionary, you know, steps in order to prevent something further, because the last thing that they want to do or that they can allow to happen is for y'all to, or for people to run up in there off the street and take over the jail and then, you know, have all the prisoners out. So that to me is, sorry for you, because when you're fighting on the front line, that's a part of fighting on the front line. So you just got to take it, you know, take it on the chin, because that's a part of what you stand up for when you say you want to do that. So crazy that the light, like, how do you just turn it? Like, so you ain't nobody got no heat and then they're freezing. The person said it at another place, you know, various amounts of clothes on just to try to, in order to pan, and you know, that's, I could not imagine in a state of confinement in a cell with one other person. And somebody should be in trouble for that. So the next thing that I want to talk about, eels. This is might go a little bit faster than what I was thinking it should go. I might go, you know, perhaps. But next thing that I wanted to discuss is the boycott on the NFL. Atmosphere here in Atlanta and what it means for the city to have the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was scheduled way before the world right now. This is something that had been worked on, strategically planned, and the police brutality taking the protest began. So those people wondering or being upset with Atlanta for hosting or whatever the case may be, it's kind of misappropriated because it was not after the fact. It wasn't like this just happened last year or, you know, like 6 months ago. They just decided, you know, let's do it in Atlanta. This is something that was pre-planned, you know, and fought for, you know, in a sense. So that's very important when you're in that type of environment where you're fighting for something, that means you're trying to bring economic increase and revenue into the city. And in order to do that, when people come, they have to come, they have to like the way it looks, they have to love the way it feels, they have to embrace everything that it is and feel comfortable enough to bring more headquarters into the city, to bring more business into the city, bring other major events, or end up having their own large festival or major event in the city. You know, in order for that to happen, there are certain procedures that have to take place. And one is they have to see that the environment is fruitful. On Friday night, I was riding, I was singing Against the Lane, ooh, ooh. And there was at least 20 parties at once, and everything big in the sense of normally it's 20 parties and you got two or three of them that's lit, and then you got a couple more that, you know, they doing all right. But for 20 or more parties and I don't hear of any type of drama or any type of negative behavior, any bad reports, that's a good step for the city. Like, I know that we are boycotting, or we are supposedly collectively boycotting the fact that they took Colin's job. That is not the only reason that we're boycotting. We are also boycotting, or supposed to be boycotting, for the way that they are holding the players' ability to speak and express themselves how they want to, the contract that they tried to propose, and all those other things. Now, boycotting kind of doesn't work unless you're just not watching in support of Colin getting another job. And, you know, that's to each his own, because he doesn't deserve to not be working for the NFL unless he just doesn't want to work in the NFL, period. Now, the thing is, it's either you either like the NFL or you don't like it. Yes, it started out from a very negative perspective, and they didn't want us to be involved, yada, yada, yada. But at this point, there are a lot of black families being taken care of by the NFL and the players and et cetera. And I say that going to Atlanta Stadium, there are black employees that's going to be at that stadium. The NFL isn't employing the people at the stadium. The stadium is employing that. That's a part of their contract. So a lot of times we'd be trying to boycott, and then we'd be hurting the people that work at the place that we're trying to boycott, because we're trying to prove a point, but then we getting people fired. We losing people's jobs. We're doing all this other stuff. So I'm not saying don't boycott, don't let your voice be heard, don't speak, don't have an opinion or anything like that. But we have to respect a lot more things involved than just trying to prove a point. When you decide to sacrifice, just like I was talking about with the front line, when you decide to sacrifice and you decide to go and say, okay, I am going to do this. Okay, when Colin decided to take that knee, he knew that it was some risk with that. When he decided to do it again, he knew that it was more risk to that. When they told Colin, either stand up or you're going to be let go, he made a conscious decision to let his job go. So in the manner of, that's a part, that's the sacrifice that he chose or to let his voice be heard. Now, how we handle that needs to be based on how Colin thinks that it should be handled himself. Like, what is he doing in order to, like, what is his move? How do we support him? Like, we don't have to hate, talk about hating the NFL, because the more you talk about hating, so either you're going to just support Colin and let anything else go and let people, whatever anybody else is doing, be whatever it is that they're doing. Because the thing is like you getting so, don't get so caught up in trying to boycott that you putting off more negative energy towards boycotting than you're putting positive energy towards the thing that you're supposed to be supporting. The boycott is not more important than support. So if you're boycotting more than you're actually supporting the cause or supporting the narrative that is being presented, aside from buying a shirt and wearing a shirt, what are you doing in your everyday life to support the narrative of changing lives? What are you doing in your everyday life to help kids not be on the street so they don't have to get killed? What are we doing in order to say, okay, well, we're going to, okay, we got this new reform company, nonprofit organization with Meek and Jay, and I love that. However, it's a lot more people with a lot more to say than just them two. I think I was supposed to say the Meek and Jay because it would have rhymed, but, you know, I'm just saying. It's a lot more that needs to be done. We oftentimes, as a community, what I see is that we have a whole lot to say about the most mundane things. And I'm not saying mundane like it's not important. Police brutality is important. But in order to stop police brutality, aside from the reform company, we need to be trying to figure out who gonna be police officers. Because guess what? This is what I've noticed with this last government shutdown. If every government agency that y'all swear y'all have, y'all niggas wouldn't know what to do. Y'all would be low. They would get cut off. Should be jobs. Departments. If there were no more prisons. It's a lot of y'all family members got CO jobs. And not only that, if they close the prison, if those prisons, if they stop policing, if the Department of Justice made a whole shift to where they wasn't as active, who would know what to do with all those criminals coming out of the penitentiary? We already don't know what to do with these free niggas that don't know how to think right or process their own emotions like they're supposed to. So I'm confused. I mean, like, I'm really lightweight confused. Because nobody has a plan for the things that they're demanding. You cannot, you can demand whatever you want. But if you demand it and you ain't playing for it and you ain't ready for it and you ain't put it through your mind what it's going to take to get the grind done and get it, you know what I'm saying, like to get into what you're trying to get into, then you're already at a problem. Because it's a lot more that needs to be done than just always boycotting and boycotting and boycotting. You need to be doing something on the other end, or else you're just putting energy into boycotting, but you're not doing nothing to help fix nothing. And if you're not helping fix nothing, then what the hell are you boycotting for? You just don't want to, okay, just say you had a football. Say that. Don't act like you boycotting for a call. You're not going out to, you know what I'm saying, you're not changing your career anyway for even forth effort into your job to do something that's positive, to do something to help change, to do something to give people some hope or anything. Like, don't just boycott and then you think that that's going to solve the problem. Boycotting alone is not going to solve the problem. Protesting alone is not going to solve the problem. Because guess what? When you get finished doing all of that and everything is still the same, guess what? You ain't going to keep doing it. Eventually, you're going to get tired. Or they're going to alleviate you for the time being, and it's going to be some other type of punishment on the other end. When you're dealing with something, one that you've been conditioned to believe, conditioned to be adapted to, one, if you don't have a plan, like if you go in and you say, okay, I'm going to buy and take over this company. Shout out to Gathering Spot for copping that AC3. If you say I'm going to take over this company, but you ain't got no plan for how to run it, you should have just left it in the hands of the other people that it was in, unless it was already going well. You just want the profit from it. And I'm not talking about that company. I'm just saying, speaking in general. When we want a justice reform, what do y'all want in the reform? What do y'all want to say? Y'all want everybody free? Okay, so what you going to do with all the free people when we get free? We're going to get them free and then what? Who's going to rehabilitate them? How will that process work? Because everybody don't need to be free. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you killing people for no reason, you don't need to be. I don't want you to be free. Not free, free. I mean, like, we need to put you somewhere. You need to go somewhere. We don't need you to be free, free if you're a menace to society. So I think that at this point in global planning, in cultural planning, we have to really figure out, okay, what are we expecting? What is the end goal? What are we attaching this to? Because if it's just to Cap, at this point, Cap might not even want to be in the NFL no more. Like, we want him to get a job. What if he don't want that shit? Like, then what? So, I mean, it has to be something more than just trying to attach something to a person to have a reason to be mad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of just finding a reason to be mad and staying about mad about things we cannot change. Somebody mad because they tore a mural to Cap down that was on a half-destroyed building. Okay. Who told him to draw it there? Because if he don't know if they are not planning to do it from the day that they signed this contract, then they can't even be mad. If he just randomly put it there, then, I mean, you can be mad, but it's a waste of energy because you don't know if that was already planned or not. And even if it wasn't, it's still on a damaged building. It's not like you're on a fresh good building. It's just a waste of energy. But instead of being mad about what they did wrong and why, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but instead of whining about it and crying, what can you because you don't got permission for it. If you just randomly did it, I respect your art, but you cannot be mad because it might not be personal. So now you're making something that's just in general personal and giving yourself a headache. It's just not. We have to learn to focus our energy on what's needed more than what we don't want to see. What we need to improve and taking those actions to improve it more than what we're not interested in no more. We need to put more energy into. Go do some research. Go read a book about the things, or go look up some laws. Go find out an organization that's into what you into. Go follow some status. Like, there is enough going on in the world so that you can put your energy into something positive more than talking about what you ain't doing towards something that you think is negative. But then at the same time, you can't be mad because somebody else want to watch what they want to watch. Call a condition, serving the master, whatever you want to call it. But if that's what they like and they committed to that and they said that they vowed to that, then guess what? That's what it's going to be. For you to be mad or perturbed or whatever at anybody because of their choice, you playing yourself. Why are you playing yourself? Look, this is the thing. Every time something gets me upset, you know what I do? I ask myself, nobody knew that I was connected to this, or if nobody thought I had anything, why do I care, basically? Like, if I had nothing to do with this, why would it make a difference? What difference would it make? How is it affecting the world in a bad way? Is it affecting the world in a bad way? And if it is, how can I correct that? If it's already done and it's already over, then we need to be making plans on how to make sure that whatever result that we get and we don't like don't happen again. But in order for something to not happen, the start to finish of it, you got to plan it. You got to figure out, okay, then what is this? What am I risking when I do this? How is this going to make me feel? How is this going to affect the people around me? Because it doesn't just affect you. A lot of stuff that we, in order to be proactive in a lot of the fights that we're seeing that we desire to fight. It's a lot of risk management that needs to be done when we're deciding to fight fights that's bigger than us. You have the risks you are taking, and how you adjust are based on that. We're not crying over something you already knew was going to spill. You cry over that. You just figure out how you're going to spill it. About something that's already dead, we don't get far. So how is it so we can move on, move forward, and be great? What are we going to put our energy into? Because we're not harping on the bad stuff and somebody did this and somebody did that. Okay, so how do we make sure they don't do it again? Because I don't care about what, who did what, and da-da-da-da-da. What do we do to prevent it from happening again? Because if it can happen again and all you're doing is whining and complaining about it, then guess what? It's going to happen again and again and again until you figure out how to prevent it. If you're not ready to take preventative measures, then you're reactive to things. Reactive to things is never a good thing because you're always behind whatever is going on. Now, the last subject that we're going to talk about is I want to talk about two things. First, if you're listening to this and you are in entertainment, you need to know I do not follow children. Anybody under the age of 18, I try not to follow. I may follow one or two young people if I follow their parents also, but generally speaking, I will not follow, not for long periods of time, a child or kid talent. I will promote kid talent. There are a couple people that are not 18 or older, and I follow, but I also follow the adults that are or their careers and or guardians and or parents. Now, if I don't follow the parent or guardian, I'm not following the child. The reason is because if I get to start to try to promote someone that's underage and they are not in a place to be able to protect themselves, one, because this industry is very, very vicious. It's a lot of underlining issues that are both corporate and personal amongst the industry as a whole. And I would never in my life want to get a child involved in some of the things that is going on. Now, if you are a parent of a child, I am not saying that I won't, like, if you just want to be famous or, you know what I'm saying, want the promo or whatever, then I will do what I can to help work with you and your child and help them develop and grow and whatever it is you guys want them to be. But on social media, I really try to refrain from following children because I am not a fan of children in this industry and what this industry does to children who are manipulated in order to get, you know, whatever it is that both parties desire. And not all of it is manipulation. Some of it is just bad environments and bad placement. And I want to make sure that I do my due diligence to protect children. So in order for a child to kind of be graced into my system, then I have to be, like, in line with whatever their parent believes in. I have to know that that parent is capable of taking on what is going on or what could transpire if a child is famous or goes viral or anything like that. Now, I am not saying that I am the only one or a person that can make you be famous. I can't make you be famous. You either get it or you don't get it. People like me simply pass your uniqueness into the right hand. We pass that that flavor that you get. If you already get the flavor, then we just, you know, make sure, you know, you get to where you're supposed to be. But this isn't about that. I'm just letting everybody know I do not follow children. And this world is great for anybody who knows how to navigate in it. But I would not be have that on my mind or conscience that I turn a child over into something that I cannot control once you get out there. So enough of that. The last thing that I wanted to talk about was Mr. Savage. Like, I don't know how to pronounce or say his whole real name, but I'm just over here and, okay, it's not just going to be Mr. Savage. I'm just going to talk about rappers now, or artists in general. After what I just said about not following artists, I mean, young kids, I'll talk about artists in general. Okay, so I'm going to start with 21 Savage. Love the things that I've heard from him, the things that I know about him, how he, you know, moves. The only issue that I really don't know much about him, to be completely honest. I'm not going to lie to you. I did not know he was from or the UK or whatever wherever he's from, they here. I thought he was from Zone 6. Now, let's goddamn, the UK got a Zone 6. I'm trying to figure out what Zone 6 you've been in all your life. That you, I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't understand it, but he's not the only one that kind of portrayed one thing and doing something else. This or in the industry. So I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I was telling this person, like, hey, I don't want to date, or I wouldn't date online. I'm not a fan of this. Just being in Atlanta, you can meet somebody, and they make you be thinking that, you know what I'm saying, they got this, this, and this going on. And if you ain't with them 24/7, then so if you can do that in person in one city, then the possibilities of you being able to do that online is something totally different. I mean, like, you got it in order to be able to assimilate what's real and what's false, especially with these rappers. Or I don't want to say artists in general, because all artists aren't like that. It's in the hip-hop industry, there's more of a facade to be put on. Like, right now, it's just, you have to look a certain type of way, give a certain type of vibe, or people think that you do in order to be liked or whatever. You know, it's this bad guy thing. And, you know, like, the bad guy thing look cool, but that shit is not what it's cracked up to be. Don't get fooled thinking that, you know, it's the bad guy move is the move, and you see that the bad guy move isn't really working. I mean, it may look good on a documentary sometimes. I mean, like, in a, like, Tony Montana type of way on a documentary, but you don't really want all that negativity around you and all of that. So the first thing I want to talk about in this particular area of the show is 21 Savage, because I think somebody failed him. I'm not for sure of his history. I'm not a whole lot familiar with all of his career. I only know that he hangs with the killer of Bankroll Fresh. So I was always hesitant because I was cool. I supported Bankroll Fresh, so because I supported Bankroll Fresh, I don't really try to support the people that are murderers. Like, but the situation in a whole, like the totality of the situation was very unclear. So I had that support, and I can't somebody or, you know, was involved in. So I became more open to 21. So with that being said, and I really didn't, you know, still wasn't really nothing until I was trying to warn him about his last romantic relationship with the blonde head girl. I don't say people names like that because I don't be giving people shine like that. So tension, period, you know, like I'm not giving that person the energy. I'm just saying, you know, trying to describe in the best way possible. So with that being said, at some point before he got to this point of fame, somebody's supposed to make sure that he is who he say he is, because the minute that anything happens, everything is in jeopardy. And like, as a leader and someone that's a business and life strategist, it's important for your team to know what is going on with you from top to bottom. Sign your non-disclosure agreements, sign your confidentiality, sign your public privacy statements, do all of that. But you need to make sure that your team knows everything from top to bottom what's going on, because if they don't know, they cannot help you. Now, if your team know your situation and they're not trying to rectify, help you, then you got the right team. Don't let your team or your inability to share the truth with your team fail you. Now, in this particular situation, I don't think that he's totally at a loss. Now, from my understanding, somebody said that he would be barred from coming back to the U.S. at all. And I'm not sure if it's because he has a felony or from reports, it says life like that. So I'm not trying to mad his say that in order to you're out making moves, your team should be making sure that those moves are secure long term. Now, he can still win, because being barred from the U.S., if that's the case, does not make him a loser. And he still won. Like, he came here, he been here, he got his career, he won. He can go back and he can ball out there and bring his fan base from here, there, when at all possible. He can still release music. He can still do all those other things once he's released into to wherever he's going. Like, he got money to go over there and make his shit pop wherever he's going to go. But before it got to this point, someone that is not this, like somebody I heard, I mean, he said, well, wait, action in order to say something. No, when he wasn't in the limelight, in the spotlight, they didn't see him. They wasn't paying no attention to him. You cannot see, your visa cannot be messed up and you be in the public eye. Like, that ain't gonna work. You supposed to be hiding, you supposed to be staying low key. Like, but your team is supposed to make sure that you're good. I don't know if his team knew that he wasn't from Zone 6, though. Like, I feel fooled. I feel like the wool was pulled over my eyes. Oh, I just feel like, what in the world happened? That's just how I feel. Him, and then I was listening to the seeing a text or tweet that said Young Dolphin signed a deal and now he can't release no music and he's been signed a deal and he's been lying this whole time. Like, nigga, who are you guys? Like, y'all want fans to believe in you and what you're saying, but then you lie to them. Like, that's like, violation. Y'all violating. If I feel violated. I feel violated. Who are you guys? Why are you hiding from us? How are you going to be famous and everything that you're saying is not lining up? So now I got to question everything, every lyric that you say. Now I got to question that. Now I got to wonder if you for real or if you just blowing smoke up my ass because your ass be lying. That's why I hate lies. You know why I hate lies? Because once you lie once, well, one, I know you're probably likely to keep lying. But now I got to question anything you tell me. So even when I listen to you, I got to be like, now, is this a lie or is this the truth? Because I don't know. Because it's you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when somebody's always honest, I don't know. You got to tell everybody all your business. But the people that support you, that's around you, that's cheering you on, should not be lied to. It's a whole bunch of people that was following Dolph just because of him being independent. Now, I don't know if the first deal was the street exec deal, which is just management. But if he's been signed, nigga, you was lying. Oh, bruh, I'm disappointed. Like, I'm disappointed. I only want to work with real people. I don't want to with real people. I don't want to work with liars. I don't want to look stupid thinking I'm supporting one thing and then it's something totally different. I want to know whatever it is. That's what I want to know, what it is, not this facade, not how this extracurricular thing. And a lot of times, a lot of these celebrities are not being straight up. And, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. Because, listen. If you ever decide to work with Speaking Freedom in any type of way, capacity, anything, first things first, you need to make sure that whatever you got going on in your life, I need to be aware of if it can affect you and your process of getting to where you're designed to be based on your purpose. Because guess what? It's not the devil messing with you if you're not, you know what I'm saying, walking through and through on what you're supposed to be doing. That's your error. We blame so many other entities and so many other things, we got to do better. So everything that I do is based in public privacy. Like, if it's something that's public knowledge, these things are public knowledge. The only reason I'm discussing any of these things is because it's public knowledge. Like, I hesitate right now about doing the R. Kelly thing because even though it's public knowledge, I have to break down so many things within the public knowledge that some people might not be able to grasp. And I'm just like, I got to talk about his childhood trauma. I got to apply the spiritual human behavior theories. And there's nothing but the integrity factor. Is a real big thing here. And I think that's what most of this really gets back to. Like, out of everything that's said, the biggest thing is integrity, responsibility, and accountability. All of those are needed. Integrity, responsibility, and accountability. If you don't have those, then man, like, you're destined to mess up whatever it is that you're working on. You got to have those. It is vital for everything that you believe for you to have integrity. Because if you got integrity, then can't nobody else come up and say, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you did something 10 years ago, if you have integrity, then can't nobody come to you or your people and say nothing about nothing that you ever did that's going to be like, oh, well, that don't make me doubt that person. But when your whole core is based on something that's not right or not real, whatever the case may be, it messes up your credibility. Now, with 21's situation, you know, I pray that his situation works out or whatever, you know, the biggest thing is that you know, even if he gets deported, he's able to still make money. You know what I'm saying? He's still able to go wherever he's from and you know, get his life on track. I just feel like, you know, I don't know who nobody is. Well, I didn't ever feel like I knew y'all niggas anyways, because, you know what I'm saying, I don't know. If I don't know you personally, I ain't been around you. I don't act like I know people that I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to try to put myself on somebody that I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying, based on what you read, someone's like Soulja Boy. Like, Soulja Boy, you keep talking about you from Boston. Nigga, you didn't, I didn't list about 3 interviews you said you was from and born and raised in all these other different places. Like, y'all just be confusing me, child. So, with all that being said, I think that we, as in totality, collectively, need to work on our accountability, our responsibility, and how we approach situations, being more proactive. Like, we can't get mad if people are doing things that make sense just because we don't like they made sense of something that they were doing. Like, we can't get mad in areas where there isn't really room to, I mean, we can get mad in areas where there's not room to get mad, but it doesn't help anything because it makes sense. It's not helping anything. The goal is to grow. The goal is to be better. The overall goal is to heal and change forever together. In order to do that, we gotta have integrity. We gotta, you know what I'm saying? We gotta support the things that we support more than we bash the shit that we hate. If we don't like it, okay, stop. Don't you know what to do? You don't say nothing about it. If you speak it, guess what? You give it an energy. Even if you say you ain't fooling with it, you just post about it. You don't like it, but you just posted about it 3 times. Yeah, you like it because you're still giving it energy. You're still allowing it to rent space in your head. The only things that rent space in my head are the things and people I love. If I don't love it, if I don't like it, then I'm not paying attention to it. It's plain and simple. Why would I give my attention to something that I don't like? Because the attention I give is either going to frustrate me or I'm going to start to like it. Now, I mean, I'm talking about if I visit your page or whatever it may be. If not, I'm not going to be into it. Plain and simple. I'm not going to play those games with you. That ain't the way I roll. That ain't how I do. When you come to speak in free, I'm going to come and get some oil. Pray, might be goofy, might be funny. You might not understand it at first, but by the end of it, it will make sense. And you can grow. But we got to be real here. Like, I'm just trying to see what story going to be, what veil going to be, what's going to be proven. All right. Well, hope you have a great day. Enjoy this new year, this new month, and make something great happen.
We are kings, we are gods. But how you get them to believe it when they don't believe in anything? We're gonna save some lives, and it's our time. We haven't church in a while. Like God's doctor in these streets, the Holy Ghost used me to set them free. If love is the new religion, the hate is sinning, we stay winning. Just handling God's business, we ain't tripping. No bread to be dipping. Disloyalty, get you to me, miss it. If you was looking and needed to know, I am the boss in the top general. Favorite position, I say CEO. Ha, 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 ha. If you didn't know.
What Speaking Freedom does online is provide general information for the culture to use to advance and improve. What we do privately is help individualize it for your needs and benefits. Grow with us.
Lesson advised. We look forward to working with you and assisting with all of your life enhancement goals. Thank you for trusting Good Head Group, Love Gang, and Speaking Freedom. We thank God for you and love you.
Greatest in the whole world.
This has been a Speaking Freedom production.